And while there is yet enough light, if you can see to open Scripture, let's look together briefly at John chapter 13. Before we open up the Lord's table, John chapter 13, and I'm going to read the first 35 verses. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterwards you will understand." "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. "The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me." I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who it was he was talking about. So he leaned back against Jesus and asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus replied, "He's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it." When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "What you're doing, do quickly." None of those reclining at the table knew why he said this to him. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he immediately left, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Children, I am with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Father in heaven, we pray that your love would indeed wash over us now. Come, Holy Spirit, and let us see Jesus. Let us understand more his life, his work, his love for us. Would you keep us from distraction? Help us to focus on what you would say to us through these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, there was a Christian organization that needed a new leader. They prayed and searched. They interviewed and decided. And they appointed. The day comes, and the new leader takes up his post. He comes with many ideas. Indeed, he's worked in the town before. He knows the operation and the organization. But he doesn't know the ins and outs. He doesn't know how his predecessor had done things. And the interview had not mentioned that everyone, and I do mean everyone in the office, took turns on the cleaning rota. And when he saw this, he decided to change it. He felt that it was not right for him to take a turn cleaning the toilet. That was not his job. It was not his gift, not his skill. And not long after, at that 3 month, 6 month review, when you know you get to that first probationary phase in your job, the trustees discovered that they could not confirm him in that appointment, and he had to leave his post. Did he just have different ideas about leadership from the last guy? Or was he not humble enough? Did he not love them enough? I want to argue tonight that Jesus would have cleaned the toilet. I want us to think about that because I think that's the closest I can come to getting into our minds what it would have been like for Jesus to clean the disciples' feet, to wash their feet in that time. I remember when I was at university with a bunch of six of us in a house, one of us, was not very diligent at cleaning the toilet until my friends came and had a word with me, reminded me what my mother had taught me and how important it was to be a part of the house, to take a turn in all of these things. Jesus would have cleaned the toilet. And I think I know that because of verse 1. If you can still see scripture, look at it with me. Verse 1 is an introduction. Verse 1, it needs to sit on its own. That's why I paused, and you know, I'm not a fan of amending Bibles, but it's worth putting a note in there to say that John has just started the second part of his gospel in chapter 13, and verse 1 is the introduction, the heading, the statement of this is where I'm going for the whole of the next chunk of his gospel. He says, this is what I'm going to tell you. Like all the great communicators, he tells you what he's going to tell you before he tells you. And he says, Jesus loves to the uttermost. I'm tempted to sing the children's song. Jesus' love is very wonderful. So high you can't get over it. So low you can't go under it. So wide you can't go around it. Because that's what John is saying. Jesus loves to the uttermost. Jesus defines love. Jesus is love. Actually, the text says, he loved them to the end. But that's what it means. And in this first instance, of course, John is recording the love of Christ going out to the disciples, those who loved him back in that moment, those who responded to him, who named him as Lord, as Peter had done, Mark tells us, so much earlier on. And it seems Peter had to keep being reminded of what he really believed. Or at the very least, Jesus had to work with Peter to keep helping him take the next step. It's almost as if Peter could pick his foot up, and if Jesus didn't tell him where to put it down, he'd put it in his mouth instead of on the next step forward. Because that's what's going on here as well. Come another step deeper with me, Peter. Come another step on the road, on the journey of understanding what love is, of what faith is, what trust is. These 30 or so verses we have in front of us remind us that we are to love Christ and love one another in a new way, in the way that Christ shows us. I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, that's where we're going to end up. That's where Peter ends up. But how do we get there? How do we get to that place? Well, it is via Christ's once and for all work in us, and it is received by faith, not rejected. So if you want one sentence that covers 35 verses of John chapter 13, God's love is received by Christ's once and for all work in us, received by faith rather than rejected. You see, this passage is first and foremost not a challenge to clean toilets. That's not its first purpose. The end result of that would be some sort of works righteousness. If you clean 10 toilets, you get into heaven. 50 and you get a prime seat. It's not like that. It's not that sort of thing. Foot washing is not some religious ceremony that is the crown of humble service, you know. And who'd want to anyway? After a day in my shoes, you really don't want to come near my feet. I mean, but that's not what it's all about. It's not about doing something unpleasant. It's not about foot washing. What's going on here, first and foremost, is Jesus is teaching. Jesus knew, hear what John says, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And Jesus knew that the Father had let him go, if you will. The Father has given, John tells us, the Father has given Jesus complete freedom to act in this moment. Jesus is not bound in any way. The Father had given everything into his hands. Christ could have blasted Judas into nothingness, removed him from the face of the earth, and at the same time, that Men in Black memory pen moment, so that nobody would ever have remembered Judas. If you're too old for Men in Black, Harry Potter, obliviate. Nobody ever knew Judas existed. Jesus could have done that. He had all power. The Father had given everything into his hands. But Christ does not do that. He is humble. He is a servant of his Father's will. He will stick to the plan. He will love with this new love. He will bring glory like no glory has ever been brought before. He'll shine and show us what the Father is really like. And to do that, he gets up from the supper table. It was a special meal. They would have been reclining. And he taught with an action parable. He pictured what it would be in the next day or two as he died on the cross. He explained the future to the disciples in a way they could not forget, so that after the fact, they would say, ah, of course, that's what it means. So Jesus gets up and he cleans the disciples' feet. And I reckon most of them were embarrassed into silence. Except good old Peter. Always trust Peter to say something, can't you? I wonder if he drew his feet back the first time around and wouldn't let the Lord Jesus wash his feet. And when Jesus has washed the feet of the others, he comes back to Peter. Would have made the point very clearly, wouldn't it? Are we like that? Pulling back from Jesus when he seeks to change us, to teach us, to help us, and perhaps not just the first time. I think Peter did the right thing. He wasn't sure what was going on, so he spoke up. I don't get it, Lord. That's what he's saying, really. I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be washing my feet. I can't see any other reason for you washing my feet, so don't wash my feet. I like that. It's pretty honest, isn't it? That's good. I wonder if we sometimes need to be more like Peter when it comes to the Lord dealing with us. Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Don't feel right. Don't understand what's going on. Don't pull your feet up. Put them down and follow them with your knees and pray. Because the Lord loves to explain. And that's what he does next. The Lord loves to explain. When Peter says, I don't get it, Jesus says, let me explain it to you. If I don't wash you, you have no inheritance with me. That's what it really means. If I don't wash you, you have no inheritance. Please excuse me. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. That word part is a word that carries the weight of inheritance. You know, the prodigal son. Father, give me my portion, my part. That's what he's talking about here. So the Lord says, if I don't wash you clean, you can't have what is mine when I've gone. You won't have the power of God, the Holy Spirit that you've seen at work. You won't have the understanding of the scriptures that I've shared with you over these 3 years of ministry. You won't have the hope of heaven that I've told you about. And Peter says, Peter's great, isn't he? I want that! Peter says, but I want that! Wash me! Wash me, not just my feet, wash me all over. I want that. That's what Peter says. And Jesus says, don't fret, Peter. I've already done it. I've already done it. What I'm doing is a picture, he says. I've already done it. Because, of course, looking from outside of time, the future work that was done on the cross in the next day or two counts for Peter, the chosen one, the one whom God has set his heart on, and the one who has responded to the Lord Jesus. What I will do on the cross tomorrow will cleanse you, Peter. You are washed clean. You are mine. I love you. I will take away your sin. I will bear the punishment for it. I'm afraid there the joy ends. For he then says, not all of you. There is one here in this story who rejects the gift of faith I am offering, says the Lord. Peter has just so obviously accepted it. I don't get it, Lord. If I wash you, you're clean. I want that, Lord. That's Peter. But here is one who sees the Lord Jesus at work, who sees this new love, this massive, wonderful love of God worked out for him. And here is Judas who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice at this point, Christ is not out of control. His heart is broken by the fact that Judas rejects him. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit. My friends, for the one who refuses to come to the Lord, he is brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. It hurts. Troubled in his spirit and testified. What does that mean? It means he exclaimed. It means he spoke with passion. He spoke with this broken heart. Truly, I tell you, it's killing me, he said. One of you will betray me. Here's the heartbreaking truth about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. we can reject it. Men and women, boys and girls can reject it. Christ will reach out to all. He spent 3 years with Judas. He washed Judas' feet. He would have had Judas in heaven if Judas had not rejected him. Jesus pictures so clearly as he washed Judas' feet that his death would cover Judas' sin. It's not because Christ's death is not able or sufficient or that God is not willing. It's simply this: he would not accept the gift. He rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is simply this: will you accept the gift? Will you bow the knee? Will you humble yourself? Will you, like Christ before you, accept that in this life we don't know? Like Peter, I don't know. Sometimes we're wrong. Peter said, "Don't wash my feet." Well, he was wrong. Sometimes we screw up. Sometimes we make a mess. Every time we need help. We have to admit that. Peter said, "I want that. I want what you've got, Lord Jesus." If we can humble ourselves and admit that and come to the Lord Jesus, then we can receive the gift. If we think we know better — Judas certainly thought he knew better, politics, money, social mores of the time — if we think we know better than the God who made everything and the God who made us, we need to watch out, because the devil will put in our hearts too to betray Jesus, to lie about him, and to reject his gracious offer of faith and hope and love. But my friends, once Judas is gone, verse 31 is a glorious encouragement. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him." Last Sunday, we recalled the triumphant entry. We read, "The time was now come." Well, John ramps it up once more. You know, it's always been "the hour is near, the hour is near, the hour has come on Sunday. But now, it's right now. Now it's right now. Now in this very moment, that Judas is gone, and I can show you, 11, who love me, can show you the new love, can show you the new covenant, can commit this all to you," because he goes on to teach them for the evening and then to die for them. Now is God's glory come. Now is God's glory revealed. In this moment that Peter accepts the blessing of Christ that is won for him on the cross, that Christ is about to climb onto, in that moment is God glorified in Christ. And the disciples go on to reflect that glory to the world. How do they do that? By loving as he loved. You see, the love of the Lord Jesus, this new command, is not new in the sense of direction. In that sense, the nature of this love, if you like, the direction of this love is old. Because Deuteronomy 6 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And the commandments go on to say, "Love your neighbor as yourself." It's not a new direction. It's a new measure. It's a new standard. It's a new ability. This side of the cross, men and women, boys and girls can love like God loves. Before, the restriction was within the people of God according to the rules that had to be kept, which were very strict, which couldn't be fully kept. Now, it's all over the world. And it's by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us and pouring out of us. It's a new measure. It's like a new scale. Those of you who are old enough to remember old money and days before we had stagflation, how much did you pay for your first house? £3,000. Can't buy a car for £3,000. You know, it's a new measure. Yeah? The measuring of money has changed. You know, now it's probably £300,000 for some houses in Manningtree and more. It's a new measure. Completely new measure. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nature of love, the direction of love hasn't changed. But the measure of love has. we have the fullness of love because Christ has shown us how to love to the uttermost. We can love as Jesus loves. We can love the social outcast. We can love the one from another culture. We can love with true humility. We can love the one who betrays us and the one who doesn't understand us and the one who is just silent because they don't know what to say. We can love them because that's the way Christ loves us. My friends, he loves us enough to serve us all. Will we love him enough to serve him? Will we love others enough as a result to serve them? I'm tempted to say, what does that mean? I'm tempted to say, at the very least, cleaning the toilet. But that would be to make a bad joke and to end poorly. The Lord Jesus loves us enough to create a new measure, to show us the full measure of God's love, and to invite us to love like that. Father, would you help us to love like that? God, the Holy Spirit, would you come and so fill our hearts with a picture of Christ's love for us and with an understanding of his love for us that we would love others, that we would love you. In Jesus' name, amen.